So, in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bahar, one of the things that we learn about is the concept of Ona'ah. Now, there are two types of Ona'ah, and we'll be discussing one of them. But one of the types of Ona'ah, which is a Dinei Mamonos issue, is the fact that within Halacha, there is some notion of price control. It's interesting how to apply these things in a modern world, but at least going back to the pure Torah biblical model, certainly was not a pure capitalist model, because no matter how much a person would theoretically be willing to spend, you could just say, well, I'll charge whatever I want. If people want to pay me, they can pay me. The halacha is that there's a certain limit to how much a person is allowed to charge, at the very least without the customer knowing. Let's put it that way. That's the concept of ona'ah. It has to do with how much you're allowed to charge for things. And it happens to be, you may have come across in various Gemaras, that there are certain things which are exempted. For example, ein ona'ah b'karkaos. Just exerus hakasav. That's why real estate costs so much, right? Ein ona'ah b'karkaos. Anyway, but that's the whole Dinei Mamonos version of ona'ah. However, there is also another concept, and that is what we're going to be focusing on. That is the notion which the Gemara and Mishnah call ona'as dvarim, which is basically hurting somebody with words. If you want to sum up the entire shir, it's basically to give lie, to contradict that thing that they taught us as children about sticks and stones. So Chazal disagree. Sticks and stones can be very, very painful, and the halacha therefore regulates how we speak to each other. And Nasdavar is about not hurting people with our words, more or less. So the pasuk says Lo sonu isha samiso. Basically, you're not supposed to hurt another person. You're going to Rabbi Kohn. I don't know if you make enough copies. If you want, if not, you can look on. You're not supposed to, try to hurt another person. And you should fear Hashem because I am the Lord your God. Okay. Rashi, just Allah Torah on our Parsha, Rashi says, this is the Azhara, as we'll see in a moment from the Mishnah and Gemara, of Ona'as Devarim. Shelo yaknit ish es chavero. You shouldn't tease. A person shouldn't tease, shouldn't hurt the feelings of another person. Furthermore, interesting Rashi quotes from Chazal, you also shouldn't give somebody bad advice. Now, we're familiar with the halacha of not giving bad advice, but we all thought that was prohibited from Parshas Kedoshim, of which Pazuk? So apparently, it's an interesting topic, apparently if you do that, you could be over on two things. You have to ask Rabbi Cohen to make more copies if you want. I'm sorry. Anyway, you have to make... if you give bad advice, apparently, Chazal say, not only are you over on the Iver, it might be an Isser of Ona'as Devarim as well. So this topic comes up in Perek HaZov in Masechet Bava Metzia. Primarily, this is the place in Shas, primarily where it's discussed. And the big daf is Daf Nunches. So the Mishnah there tells us, very important, Kishem she'ona'a b'mekach v'memkar, just like there's Ona'a taking advantage of a person when it comes to financial matters, kach Ona'a b'dvarim. You can also inflict pain on somebody with words. And the Mishnah gives two examples. Lo yomer lo, v'kama chafetz zeh, hu eino rotzeh likach. You ask somebody how much this... Excuse me, chafetz. But you don't ask somebody, how much does this thing cost? But you actually have no interest in buying it. Are you just pricing around? Are you just looking... You know, again, certain things, as we'll see, are acceptable, quote unquote, in the market you're in. But if you present yourself as if you're a serious customer, when in your heart of hearts you know you have no interest, so the Mishnah says that is a problem. Essentially, even though that's about money, we're talking about buying something, but the pain you're inflicting on someone is not by overcharging them, more or less, which is onas mamon. Here, somehow, we're going to see machlokas rishonim meiri rashbam. Why that's Ona'as Dvarim in a little bit. But for now, the Mishnah gives that as the first example. And the second thing the Mishnah gives is also very important and very well known. If somebody is a Baal Tshuva, you're not supposed to remind them of their past. Or the Mishnah gives other examples, which are similar, of course, a Ger. Right? You shouldn't remind them of the Ma'as Avosecha, or if you're what he did before he converted, or if he's the son of a Ger. You shouldn't remind him of what his parents did, etc. So that's an example. That happens to be that there's a whole separate parsha of Ona'as Hager, and we know, right, the Gemara says, I think it's 36 Averos if you oppress a Ger, but one of them is Ona'ah, and it's mentioned here in the context of the larger topic of Ona'ah. So that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara elaborates. The Gemara makes the connection, which we've already seen from Rashi, to our Pasuk and our Parsha, Tan Rabbanan, Lo Sonu Ish Esamiso. What does that mean? Ona'as Dvarim HaKasam Medaber. You shouldn't hurt somebody, you shouldn't inflict pain on somebody through your words, or as we'll see, perhaps brought beyond words, but nothing to do with money. Imhai Ben Gerim, etc., you shouldn't remind him of his past. And who gero balamot Torah, right? Somebody who's a prospective gero is coming, you shouldn't say, how can I put Torah in your mouth? I'm going to teach you Torah, the same mouth that ate nevela and trefa. How could you learn Torah? So you can't say these things to people. It's not right. Obviously, it's going to hurt people very much. Furthermore, the Gemara says in the middle of the fifth line here, imhayisurin ba'analav al yomer lo kederach shomer lo chaver of Iov. If you know anything about the Sefer Iov, Iov had these horrible, horrible, horrible nisyonos and tsaros in his life, and he had some well-meaning friends who came to see him and proceeded to try to tell him about all the things that he must have done wrong, which is why he was getting punished for all these terrible things. All right, so if you're Iov, imagine, how does that make you feel? Not better. So the Gemara says, that's another example of an Isser Daraisa called the Naz Dvarim. So if you see somebody who has a very terrible tsara, you don't go to them, so you know, if you had talked a little less than davening. You know, just in the last week, I was involved with two terrible funerals and shivas. One was a 23, 24-year-old boy, Menachem Tzion Adani, Yalav HaShalom, Yerushalayim. His mother, if you ever go to Kevah Rachel, his mother is Miriam Adani, who's a legendary personality in Eretz Yisrael. She's basically the leader of the Kevah Rachel Fund, who fought to keep Kevah Rachel open and safe. He just, he died suddenly. On a tiul during Ben Hazmanim. And then just this week, my neighbor, somebody who lived down the block from me, a woman about my age, a little older than me, she got sick with kind of a pneumonia right before Pesach, and she never recovered, and she died. I was at the funeral yesterday. Horrible, horrible tsaros. So if a person wants to be like Eo's friends, they go make a shiva call, and they say, you know, maybe had you done this, you know, you can avoid the next, you know, person dropping dead. Right? That would be really, really cruel. And aside from being a jerk, you'd also be a sinner. Because the pasuk says, don't do that. Okay, that's another example of onas dvarim. Continuing in the Gemara. Now we get again a similar idea of the business. Let's say you have donkey drivers, chamarim, and then revakshin tfumen, right? So they have a donkey, they have a wagon, but they got no one to pay them to transport anything. And they ask you, you know anybody who needs some wheat, you know, transported? You say, oh yeah, go over to Gottlieb's farm. He has a big thing of wheat he needs to send from Minsk to Pinsk. And of course, Gali doesn't have anything with wheat and wouldn't know what a farm is anyway. And the whole thing is just to waste a guy's time and to trick a person. That's not nice either. And the Gemara finally continues, which again we saw a little bit already, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af lo yitla einav al mekach b'shar she'ein lo damim. Right? You have no money. You're not interested in spending any money. You don't even have any money in your wallet. You don't go looking around, you know, asking the guy to help you try on the suit. And I look really good in that, but I know I'm not buying it because I don't even have money on me. That's also considered a form of ona'as dvarim. Finally, the Gemara says something very interesting, which we'll also pick up with in a little bit. The Gemara says as follows. This isser of ona'as dvarim is a davar that is masur lelev. What does that mean that it's masur? It's given over to the heart. Chol davar masur lelev, nemar bo v'yireisim elokecha. In other words, the Gemara, before I answer that question, the Gemara was asking, why does this pasuk, this halacha, the pasuk end with v'yireisim elokecha? Right, put on tefillin. Keep kosher. Right, we're supposed to fear Hashem and listen to all the mitzvos. But we don't have that clause, that phrase in every pasuk about every mitzvah. We have it by some others, but not really by that many. So says the Gemara klal. You want to know? You can do a test, do a search on the computer, or ask the kid from Nofi alone. He'll tell you every place in Tanakh where it says the phrase v'yareis melukecha. You know, it's funny. I don't think that was a question on the Chidon. Maybe we'd have tripped him up if we'd asked him that. Anyway, so the Gemara says a klal. Anytime you find that phrase, it's referring to a halacha that is masur lelev, that there's something that is very internal or hidden about it. Now, what does that mean? So take a look in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishur Rabbi Shimon Bayachai. Oh, I'm sorry, I take it back. So that's the Gemara's statement. What exactly that means. So, well, again, we'll have to see. We'll have to see, but it will be part of the continuation here of this Gemara, because the Gemara is going to repeat the concept, but actually make it even more significant. Listen to what the Gemara now says. Amazing. Do you know that if you hurt somebody's feelings, that is worse avera than if you rip them off? Why? Three reasons, says the Gemara. The first one is the one that is connected to what we just saw. This phrase, Yareis Melokecha, is only said by hurting somebody's feelings, by making fun of them, by embarrassing them. It doesn't say it about by ripping someone off and stealing from them, more or less. So why? What about that makes it worse? So the Marsha explains, and it's from Rashi also, I think, that basically it's similar to what you're probably all familiar with from a different Rashi, Ala Torah, about Geneva and Gezela. Right, Geneva, the Gemara says, is worse than Gezela, because Geneva is someone who does it sneaky, and the Gezela is the bank robber in the middle of the day. So why is it worse? Because the Gazlan is not scared of anybody. He's a tough guy. But a Ganef who sneaks in at night, he's scared of the people. He doesn't want that. You know, rent a cop without a gun to catch him. But he's not scared of Hashem. He's willing to do it anyway. So in a similar way, says the Marsha here also, Onoas Devarim is the kind of thing which eventually people find out. You may not want them to. It's not exactly like robbing the bank. But if you rip people off, you're not going to be able to keep that a secret. But if you're just doing something, you know, saying things to people, and again, you're doing it, as we'll see in a few minutes, trying to hurt their feelings, so only you know that was your intention. That's Masor Lalev. So that, only Hashem and you know. So that, apparently, you don't mind doing, even though Hashem knows. But to do something in public, like stealing their money, that you don't want to do. So that's one indication, says the Gemara, that Onas Devarim is worse. Two more, and then we'll try to get to some of the real halachic meat of the sugya. But also, really important Musar, very, very, I think, meaningful Musar. You don't have to go to Musar Seder today if you just focus on the next two lines. Number one, Rabbi Lazar Amar, Zeb Gufo v'Zeb Mamono. You have to understand, and it doesn't just mean guf like in a physical sense, it really means his essence. Some of the Mefarshim, when they quote this, they say, Benafsho. Meaning, Onas Devarim, when you criticize or make fun of somebody, so you get, this is exactly why that horrible, horrible children's rhyme of sticks and stones is so horrible. Because it's literally just the opposite. You can hurt somebody with words much worse than you can hurt them with a stick or a stone. Right? Why? So I think the Maral says, but it's basically from this Gemara, because the essence of who we are is our neshama. So dibor can cut right through to our neshama. It doesn't touch our skin, that's true, but it hurts, it's pogam in who we are. That hurts a lot more than a cut or even a broken arm. And let alone, kal v'chomer, money. As bad as it would be to get ripped off, that's not benafsho, that's not the essence of who you are. Someone who's really pogam in who you are, that's a lot more painful. And finally, says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar, ze nitan lihi shavon, v'ze lo nitan lihi shavon. Again, incredibly important. Next time you're about to hurt someone's feelings or embarrass somebody, remember this line. Because at some point you're going to want to do tshuva, and you're going to regret what you did, and you want to, quote unquote, give it back, and you can't. You can never give back someone the pain that you caused. There's nothing to do about it. Oh, I won't do it again. Okay, that's great, but that's not going back. That's just being better in the future. Money, you can always give back. Damages, you can always pay back. But if you really hurt somebody, you insult somebody, you embarrass them, there's nothing you can do to undo that, no matter how bad you feel. You may really feel bad, but what are you going to do? There was a famous case, I don't remember exactly how many years ago, there was a very famous case of somebody in the political community who was a prosecutor for, I don't remember exactly what political insider crime he was accused of. In the end, he was completely vindicated, like on tens of charges. So he had a big press conference on the steps of the big Washington courthouse afterwards. You know, every newspaper, every TV show, station in the country had this picture. And everyone expected him to be, you know, in an incredibly exuberant mood. You know, he was facing who knows how many years of jail or millions of dollars of fines. And he'd just been totally vindicated. And he famously said, the reason that no one will forget this press conference is the big thing he said was, not exuberance, on the contrary. He says, where do I go to get my reputation back? That can never be given back. Eino niten lehishavon. Someone who was that publicly embarrassed, you can't get that back. And that's exactly what the Gemara says here. So we sometimes think of Onas Devarim as like for the Mashgiach or for the Musar, but you see these are major, serious halachos. It's considered worse to some degree. Three different reasons why. Even worse than taking advantage of someone financially, which is kind of like a form of theft. So let's discuss some of the halachos, kind of a broad overview. I think this is a topic that most people don't know much about, halachically. I mean, hopefully we all have an instinct that we're not supposed to be mean, but still, the halachic part of it, I don't think most of us know too much about it. So let's go over a few of the review, and then at the end I want to give you a little lumdus that I saw today from one of my older bayim. So number one in terms of the halachic issues to mention is just interesting, is that if you take a look in the Rambam and the Chinuch, and then the Sefer HaYireim, I should say, they seem to show three layers of how you can be in violation, three layers of the mitzvah. The Rambam focuses on, as do many other Mefarshim, that you're not supposed to hurt somebody, bidvarim, right? And it makes sense because it's called onas dvarim, right? Words, making fun of somebody, teasing somebody, embarrassing them, and the like. Take a look at Sefer HaChinuch, though, he seems to raise the stakes. Afilu beremez. It's not like I'm actually insulting the person, actually speaking lashon hara about them, actually teasing them. Even if it's in some remez, which may be either a non-verbal, or even if it's verbal, but it's not a direct thing where I attacked the person, insulted the person, criticized the person. It's more sly and subtle. It's okay. The person knows what you meant, and therefore, so does Hashem. And finally, the Yerayim says something really amazing, a tremendous chiddush. Says the Yerayim, kach onah ba'ayin ra'ah. Sometimes a look is worth 1,000 words, right? Sometimes, you know, certain people know how to look at you the wrong way, or the right way, as the case may be, depending on their perspective, and they can cut you down with a look. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. It's just a look. I'm not going to mention to you the details, because I don't want you to figure out at all what I'm talking about, but just recently, yesterday I should say, very recently, I was talking with my wife about something, and someone had mentioned to her that, in the name of somebody else, that I had been critical of somebody's behavior for doing X or Y. I'm trying to be as vague as possible, and you still hopefully know what I'm talking about. You still can understand my point. Anyways, I was discussing with my wife the point, but then I mentioned, I realized once I finally knew what they were talking about, I said, I just want you to know, whether I should or should not have done anything, we could discuss. But I just want you to know, I actually never said a word. As my wife, based on this secondhand report that she got, had thought that I had said something to somebody, and we were discussing whether I should or shouldn't have. I said, I never said anything. But I did give them a look. And I now found out a few weeks later, they got the message. They liked the message. Now they're complaining. Okay, that's fine. But it was an example exactly of this Uraian. Sometimes, if it's really not deserved, you can really hurt somebody's feelings. You can make somebody feel like nothing without opening your mouth. Some people just know how to do that with that look. And if it's really, really inappropriate, even if you didn't say a word, what did I say? What did I say? Says the Uraian, that could be part of the Issa Daraisa. Next, the Orach Chaim on our parsha, on our pasuk, the Orach Chaim learns the pshat in pasuk that to make another halacha, we had said in the Gemara that Onas Dvarim is worse, and we gave 3 reasons. Says the Orach Chaim, you know what? Indicative in the pasuk as well that there are a number of things. If you were learning like in Ezekiel and Choshe Mishpat and Bamitzia, you're learning the halachas of Onas and Mamon. There are certain things which from Exeris Hakasuv. Oh no, it doesn't apply to. I mentioned karka, selling avodim. There's no oh no. Says the Orach Chaim in his Perashat Torah, third line, hagam she'ein din oh no abehem. Maybe there's no financial halacha of oh no's mamon, but that's dafka l'inyan mishpatei teva. That's in terms of going to court and saying this person oversold me. He ripped me off. I want to nullify the sale. That is true about certain things. Avoli olam isra oh no yesh b'davar. But the iser. How do you feel when you got taken advantage of? You also feel terrible. The person didn't say anything to me. I just found out that I paid $1,000 for what everyone else was paying $600 for. You also feel like an idiot. Says the Orach Chaim, that's also Osir Avonos Dvarim. Even though technically maybe because it's Karka or Avodim or whatever, there's no Onos Mamon. And you think that's just a nice Orach Chaim, a Kadosh, it's a nice drush on the Torah. The Sma, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, the Sma, Paskins is the halacha. He doesn't quote the Orach Chaim because not exactly a halachic makor, but apparently the Maharshal, who's certainly a very bona fide posek and halachic makor, the Maharshal says the same thing, and the Sma quotes it. Lo gari mi'onas devarim of gnevas das. Even those particular things were from technicalities. There's no technical onas mamon for. You shouldn't think therefore it's mutter. It's still aser midaraisa. It's just aser because of onas devarim. You can't take advantage of people in any way, whether it's financial or otherwise. Okay. Now, what is the essence of this Isser? I've already alluded to it a little bit, but let's just see quickly. Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah say basically explicitly that the common thread through all of these things is tsar, pain. The basic bottom line ground zero prohibition is you're hurting somebody. You're causing them pain. Rashi says tsar belev. You can even make someone cry. Karev lahari dema'os. You can almost make someone cry from it. That's how painful it is. Rabbeinu Yonah says in 2 places in Shar Gimel of Shari Tshuva, he's describing this prohibition. And in both cases, he talks about hametza'er, kol ish mi Yisrael. That's the essence. You're causing pain to another Jew. Or in the second mention, he's talking about in public. If you have somebody whether it's a rabbi who speaks too exaggerated about something that they're doing wrong, or someone who exaggerates a threat of something and scares people. I'm sure you grew up with the whole issue of, you know, the terror alerts, you know, this color and that color, and it became like a satire and people would make fun of it. But in all seriousness, if there's a real threat, we want, you know, the government to tell us. But if they're really exaggerating something, we get scared for no reason. So that's actually a din. It's not a Saturday Night Live skit. It's a din. It's a din. You're not supposed to do that. And the Gemara quotes it. And so does the Rabbeinu Yonah. And the Rabbeinu Yonah, the way he quotes it is, Mitzar es tzibur, b'hatalas emaso. By striking fear into the heart of the tzibur when it isn't necessary, you're mitzar then. That causes pain for unnecessary reasons. That is also part of the essence. Now, in light of that, let's keep that in the back of our mind. And now we'll do one more thing about the people, which is a very common thing. Everyone, I'm sure, has done it. We've all gone into a store which we had no interest in buying something. So let's look at that for a moment, and then we'll get to a final two issues, which are also relevant with a little lumdus. So first of all, we saw already from the Mishnah and the Gemara, if you have no interest in buying something, you know Meirosh, and you present as if you are, so then that is considered a problem. You should just know the post can write, it gets common sense, but I think some safer quoted this from Chaim Kanievsky, and then I said to myself, it's just common sense. Certain things you don't need of Chaim Kanievsky for, although it's the same Rashi Tevos, almost. But anyway. Okay. And the bottom line is, if it's clear to the person that you're just browsing, that's okay. You say something, I'm just looking. That's fine. But you shouldn't make a person go, you know, salesman go through the, you know, people, and again, people do this because they want to get certain information. If he knows you're just browsing, he's not going to tell you what the best deal you can get on it is. But if you wanted to find out from him, because you're really going to the guy you know down the block, and you're really going to buy it online anyway, but you just need to get the best price, or you need to get... That's not right. So what's wrong with that? Why is that considered Onaz Devarim? So there's a few different explanations given in the Rishonim. The Meiri gives two reasons. The first reason that the Meiri gives is he goes, even though it's indirect, it is a hefsid. You're causing him loss. Why? Because when he makes his deal to you, you're not going to say, actually, I never had any interest. I just wasted your time for 20 minutes. Says the Meiri, what are you likely going to say? You're bosh lo marshein rotza likach. You're going to be embarrassed to admit the truth that you've been scamming him the whole time. So you might say, you know what, I think it's too expensive for me. You're going to say it's too much. And if you say that, says the Meiri, what's going to happen? The guy who's next to you, who also looking to buy, says, hey, one second, this guy didn't want to buy it for that price. So I'll also tell him I want to buy it. That's too expensive for me. I'll buy it for something lower. And Lu Yusuyer says to Meiri that person would have been willing to pay the asking price had he not heard you just walk away. Oh, that's way too expensive. So then the guy may make the sale to the guy behind you, but he's going to sell it for less than he would have if you had never showed up. That's one possible explanation of the Meiri. But the second thing the Meiri says is, I feel l'aya adam sham, even if no one else was listening, you're not going to hurt him financially. You wasted his time. Umatzaro, and it caused him a certain amount of pain. Shechashav limkor v'lo machar. He thought he had a sale, he thought he could make a sale, and he didn't. So, you don't have to buy in life. If it turns out that you really thought about it, and you just didn't like what you saw, or you don't like the price, he'll be disappointed, but that's not your fault. But if you never had any intention of buying to begin with, you wasted his time, and you hurt his feelings. Rashbam says something a little different. Rashbam em sachim. Nimsa mafsido, chinam. He says certain times, again, this won't apply to every case, because certain things, if you show that you are not interested in it, let alone if you were maybe touching it and feeling it, and who knows what, someone after that might not buy it. He didn't like it. Well, yeah, it's not that I didn't like it. I never had it in mind. It was just, you know, my great aunt from, wherever, she's going to get me something, so I wanted to try it in the store to see how I liked it. But of course I wasn't going to buy it from the store. But the person... might as well. He was wearing it. He was touching it. He didn't like it. So the Rashbam says in certain circumstances, it's another way like that Meiri, but in a little different explanation, also an indirect way of causing a person to actually have a loss. And finally, the last explanation, which is already in some Rishonim, in the Sifra, on our Parsha, the Sifra is the Halachic Medrash in Bahar, Parsha Dalid. So if you have a Sifra, which I didn't have a chance to get today, if you look at the classical commentaries of the Ravid, and the Rash. So they more or less both say what later was said by the Shulchan Aruch Harav, which I have on the sheet. Shulchan Aruch Harav says, if he thinks you're going to, buy it and then you don't, Yaker chaveir shenit kavein lahatiosov yitzarlo. He basically views it as if you played him for a fool. Once he realizes, again, he never realizes, then maybe according to Shulchan Aruch Rav, maybe it wasn't a strict violation. But if he realizes, when you eventually walk away, that you never had intention of buying, so that itself makes him feel like a fool. Not, it's a little bit different than we saw from the second explanation of the Miri. The second explanation of the Miri is that he feels bad that he didn't make a sale, and he doesn't realize that he never could have. In a certain sense, this is almost the opposite, even though they get to the same conclusion, that it's the same Avera. But here it says, Shulchan Aruch Rav, if he realizes you never meant, he'll feel like a fool. As if you played him for a fool. And you say, but I don't want to hurt his feelings, I just wanted to waste his time. There's like no defense, So that says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that is it. So that's the three explanations of that. Again, that does not relate to what I want to get to now, but I thought this is just such a common problem that I just had to get that in there so you see those shitas and understand the different dimensions of the problem. Again, I reiterate, there are times and there are certain circumstances, it's a little bit of a value judgment. But just remember, you have a big Isser D'oraisa hanging over your head, so just be careful if you're going to do it. There are times where it's mekubal to go into a store and, the guy starts coming over to you. You say, just looking. That's fine. And he may want to come over anyway because he's really ambitious and he thinks he can make the sale. That's fine.
Is the issue of Gnevas Das, like going to a store?
It's called an Osvarim. That's what it's called. You can call it Gnevas Das. He called the Gemara here calls it an Osvarim.
It's
a good question. I don't think so. Technically speaking, it might not. You might have other problems. It might not. It's a good question.
So if you were just like down walking by the pit store, you should like walk in like an animal.
Again, it all depends on the context. I'm not sure. I'm being very serious. Again, when you're in a situation where like in a shuk or something, where like the second you walk there, the guy is already starting to handle with you.
No.
So that's like that seems to be the old fashioned case of the Gemara. I'm agreeing with you. In our cases, it can be sometimes more complicated. So I say, it's hard to know. If just walking in the store, or even looking at the window, is already going to get the guy's hopes up, for example, so then you really have a problem. That's hard to know. I can easily see being, muttering, because as I said, there are many places, especially if it's in a very busy place, this is mekubal. Now again, where it really rubber hits the road is when he comes over to you, for example.
Right.
Right, many a time, someone will come over to me, and I'll just say, just looking. You're at the airport, you got to kill some time, So you're in that, fancy Italian men's store. You're not really actually buying anything. Oh, you mean you've done that too? You're not actually buying anything. I mean, you might still, because you're still on your parents' credit card. I am certainly not buying anything anymore. But, I've got nothing else to do, so, I'm not going to go to the cigarette and alcohol store, so what else am I going to do? But if a person would come over to me, again, there's thousands of people in the airport who come through each day. I don't think that that's the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
But in, if you're at a store buying like a larger item, like a major electronic item, or going to buy a mm-hmm. car, and you go and you ask the guy, not necessarily that you don't have a kavana to buy it, but you know that you're not going to buy it right then because you're going to go somewhere else to get competitive pricing. Competitive pricing is an accepted thing.
I think so, yeah. I think that is accepted. And again, if it turns out he knocked your socks off and made you a great offer, maybe you would even do it. So I think that would be okay. And you might end up going back to him. I think that's also fine. Okay, let me mention two more points, which are very important. Each one is difficult, but I'll share with you a chiddush from one of my rebbeim, which hopefully will answer them both. The first one, in number four, is the fact that it's meduyak in Rashi, and in other sources, I gave you the Magid Mishnah as well. It seems to be that intention is a key factor here. Now, we know in general there's mazid and shogeg, but even when you do a shogeg, you did an avera, so your punishment's less because of a shogeg. Here it seems that if it's b'shogeg, meaning if you didn't have intention to hurt the person, there is no avera. So, for example, Rashi, and we already saw one Rashi above who mentioned the issue of kavana. But here, Rashi, when he's talking about the idea of yireisa me'elukecha, the pasuk, it's something that's masur lelev. What does that mean? It's masur lelev. What does that matter? So Rashi has the lashon, only the person who yodea im lakel im laklachus v'yachol hu lomar lo asiti kim l'tova hayiti savor sheish l'tova limkor, etc., etc. Meaning, what's Rashi saying? That a person could always claim, I didn't intend to hurt your feelings. I didn't intend to embarrass you. I didn't intend to give you bad advice. I didn't intend to waste your time. And in that case, but you did hurt them. But apparently, according to Rashi, if that would have been true, in this case, it's not true because you're making it up. But what do you see from Rashi? And I'm going to point out. But Lu Yitzur, it was true. you did hurt the person, you did embarrass the person, but you never had any intention of it, it wouldn't have been a violation of Onas Tvarim. The Magid Mishnah says the same thing. The Rambam just quote. I didn't give you the Rambam because it's just basically quoting the Mishnah and the Gemara about the idea of Masr Lalev. And the Magid Mishnah says, what's the big deal about Masr Lalev? Because a person could say, Letova Nidkavanti. Kachayiti Savor. I only meant good. So again, in the case where you're lying, so then that's the problem. But if you're really telling the truth, you see from this Magid Mishnah as well, there wouldn't be a problem. And again, the question for both of these, and there's other Maramakomos that would indicate this as well in the Akronim, why should that be so? Why is this different than any other halacha where it's just a shogeg? Or say it differently, we saw those Makaros, including from Rashi, who focus on the idea of your meitzar, you're hurting somebody. Well, the person got hurt. How can you say that that's not even an avera? Okay, maybe it's a shogeg and avera, but how can you say that it's all about my kavana if the person really got hurt? Another halacha, which is very interesting, I first heard when I was your age, and Rav Amital, who I believe is still a Rebbe here, Rav Yoel Amital, was a little bit younger then, so was I. I remember he gave a Friday night shmooze, and he gave a whole speech about how terrible it is to call people by a nickname. Now, the year I came to Shalvim, there was like 20 guys who came together from New York and Ketmar Hashah, and I think since there were like four, they had nicknames for each other. So I was like, oh man. It took me a month to learn their name because I just knew their nicknames for a month.
Even if they don't mind?
So this is a larger topic which we have run out of time. I'm not late yet, but I know I'm going to run out of time for that. But there's a whole sugya, there's a whole literature. I didn't even put on the sheet because that I knew we wouldn't have time for. There is a discussion about parv or positive nicknames. Right, certain gedolim are known as the Minsker Ilui, right? That's not a bad nickname to be known as the Minsker Genius. You know what I mean? I mean, I wasn't ever known that way, but I wouldn't mind. Right, exactly. That was the only issue. That's the only problem. The Cincinnati doesn't really go with The Cincinnati it didn't really go. Forget about it. You know. So I did win, by the way, when I was fifth, sixth grade. I was in a sports camp, a day camp, but it was a sports camp. As a kid, and I won the award at the end of the summer banquet for best nickname.
What was that?
For another time.
You're going to say you take.
So the Gemara says, in Bab Metzia, but before, so yes, the issue of positive or par of nicknames is a complicating factor, but here we're talking about something else. Look at the Gemara Bab Metzia. Our same Gemara later on, bottom of the Amud, says the Gemara, there are only three that go to Gehenna. It's like, well, it's only three. I thought there were a lot more than three. So I says, well, no, what we meant is, second line, what we meant is not only three go to Gehenim, only three will go to Gehenim and not come up. Only three are going to be in Gehenim for a long time. Yordin Vein Olin. And who are they? Habala Eshes Ish, an adulterer. Bad. Hamal V'Pnei Chaver Barabim, you embarrass him in a public. Very bad. V'Hamachana Shem Ra L'Chavero. You call somebody by a derogatory nickname. Yo, fatty, what's up? That would be a machana shem ra l'chaveiro. I could think of others, but you could probably do even better than me. That says the Gemara is a problem. And the Gemara asks, one second, what's the difference between that and a bear? Right? If I call somebody fatty in public, yo, booger! What is the problem? What did I do? I embarrassed them. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Machano, Hainu Malbin. Didn't we just say that there's three and one of them is Malbin Pnei Chaver Barabim? So why three? The Gemara says an astounding thing. Even if he's already used to it and it doesn't embarrass him. Even if it doesn't seem to embarrass him. It's still so usur, so bad. Yorod L'Gehenim Veinim Olin. That's the Gemara. And you think, again, it's just an Agadita thing. It's just for the Mashgiach to talk about. The Rambam paskins this in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel Halacha Yedaled. The Rambam lists 25 people who are going to go to Gehenim and they're having a hard time ever getting out of that. And one of them says the Rambam is Gamanu gives them a kind of shame l'chavero. You call people by nicknames, yeah. So I'm saying for now, let's just limit it to a bad nickname. There is a discussion, and there is a Tosfos that seems to indicate that even positive or par of nicknames might be at least a midas achidus to avoid. There's a Gemara that says that, I think it was Rabbi Zakkai or somebody, that he lived a very long life and he attributed to never using a nickname. And some Tosfos there on that Gemara says even positive nicknames he didn't use. Okay? So it seems to be part of the issue is how do you determine what's a bad nickname, what's a nice nickname? You know, is there a rule book for this? So just briefly, there's a Tshuvas Torah Lishma, that's the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai has a sefer of halacha written al seder of the parshios, but his tshuva sefer is the tshuva l'shma. And he was asked about a person who they were calling him, I think, a nickname based on his nose. I think that was the case. So he mentions that there's a term in the Gemara that Shmuel is called Shinina. It's not clear what that means. There's two opinions in Rishon and what that means. So one opinion is that Shinina means very sharp, very smart. But the other opinion in the Rishonim is that it means it had big teeth. Yeah, it was not, and that's not a compliment. Not a compliment. So he discusses this and says the Torah Lishma, Miu Nira, the Dovers and Nidon Lefi Ha'et V'Hazman, Ufi Datan Shabbani Adam, and Darkan Lahakbid Al Zayam Lav. So Torah Lishma introduces a bit of common sense. He says, listen, everything depends on the context. If the person, given the time, given the place, given the circumstances, if he feels bad by what you said, and that is considered a bad nickname, period. There's no objective bad or good. That could be bad. And if in a different context or a different time and place, the person finds the nickname parv or complimentary, then that's also okay. It all depends on the time and the place. So how do you determine what's the bad nickname or not? That we're going to have to leave as a gray and flexible category. But the bottom line is, if it's a bad nickname, you're really, 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 really bad. So what's the problem? The Gemara says at the end, what if he's kfar doshboy? Certain cases, it won't be malbin. You didn't embarrass him? And yet it's still an avera. And how do we know that's the right way to read the Gemara? Because Rashi says clearly, it's an amazing Rashi, even though ain pun of mit lavnos, he's already used to this, he's heard this 1,000 times, he's not embarrassed anymore when people say it. Mikol makom zel hachlimo, what's the key word again you see from Rashi? Miskavein. If you have kavana to hurt a person, you're in violation. Now this Rashi is also shver, but the irony is, or the fascinating thing is, it seems to be 180 degrees opposite of the previous Rashi. Until now, we've had Shaila, Rashi, and others focus on the idea that an essential ingredient of the Isser is, you hurt him, but that's not enough. It's you hurt him and you niskaven to hurt him. And we asked why? What if you didn't niskaven, but you still hurt him? If you stole from him without being niskaven, you still have to give it back. So why is that? Well, that was our first question. But now, Lachara, we could ask the opposite question on Rashi. Here, Rashi seems to be saying that if you were niskaven to hurt the person, but didn't, because this nickname doesn't bother him anymore, but it is objectively the derogatory nickname, a year ago when they first started calling it to him, it did bother him. But you know how people are. We rationalize and we adjust. So psychologically, the person figured out a way to, you know, not be bothered anymore. But you're calling it to him to make fun of him. Niskaven lachlimo, says Rashi, you're over, even though there's no busha. So the first Rashi says, if there's tsar but no kavana, but what's the pshat? What's the pshat? So 100%, when you have two difficult anything, including in this case Rashi, if we could come up with one explanation for both, we'd be happy. Shaila is, what's the pshat? Certainly at first glance, they both seem to be difficult. And I'm adding, not only are they both difficult, if you would have asked me, I would have disagreed with Rashi in both. And if you add it together, how could Rashi say both? You really have a mess. So I saw that one of the rishis at YU was from the Rabbi J. David Bleich. Some of you may have heard of him, some of you not. He's not as well known as some of the other Rebbeim, but he's one of the super geniuses alive. And many, many years ago, he wrote a journal, an essay in a Hebrew journal called Hadarom. This is from like 30 or 40 years ago. He published this journal, this article. And he has a 3 or 4 page article, a short article on Anas Devarim. And he was bothered by both of these points. And he gives the following answer, and with this we'll conclude. It's a bit, very big chiddush, but it certainly works at least for these two Rashis and others who agree with the two Makaros. It says, amazing chiddush. It says, the focus of Anas Devarim is not on the tsar that the person actually feels. Rather, Ela Geder Anas Devarim, who? Sh'aidei Diburo, based on what you say, humarish eno machshiv umarich es chavero el hu shuffle v'nivze be'enav. It's not so much about what he feels, but it's about what you're projecting. The attitude that you project. By you projecting an attitude of disrespect, of degradation towards that person, that is the avera. What you did, the attitude you projected, what you feel, what you're showing with your words, your actions, that is what's usher, even if for whatever reason it doesn't even bother the person. That's the essence of the usher. Tremendous chiddush. I personally would probably just want to tweak it and say maybe there's two dinim. Meaning if you just hurt the person, that might also be usher. But certainly I think he has a chiddush, which I think, as I'll wrap it up in 1 second, which I think is very compelling, at least in some makaros, that there could be an isser even when there isn't the pain. Because the focus isn't always the pain of the other person. It's the attitude of disrespect that you have towards the person that you're demonstrating through what you said. And even if the guy's mochel, so to speak, if he doesn't bother him, that you're not allowed to have that attitude towards another Jew. How does he explain the two things we saw? Beautifully. We said, how come Rashi said before, and Rashi says again now, it's all about your kavana. And if you don't have the kavana, it doesn't matter. So he says, exactly, that's the point. Even if he was hurt, but that's not the isser. At least that's not this dimension of the isser. The isser is, did I project an attitude of disrespect? If I didn't, then there's no isser. The isser is that I shouldn't have the disrespect for him. Whether or not he felt it. So in this case, even though he felt it, but I didn't project any disrespect. In fact, I love him. I respect him tremendously. I didn't have any intention of hurting his feelings. So taka, there's not even an isser, because that's not the isser. The isser is your attitude. Here, you don't have the attitude. And on the flip side, when it comes to the nicknames, there where I do have the attitude, I am trying to insult him. It's just, darn it, that guy, he won't get insulted. No matter what I do, I keep on making fun of him, but he doesn't seem to care. So there again, that's the flip side. But this is exactly, Rabbi did what you did. He just made it sharp. So that's exactly the point. In that case where you have the flip side, but it's for the same reason. Because you have the wrong attitude, you're over, even if the person wasn't hurt. Okay? Anyway, the main thing is, be nice to other people. Good Shabbos.
Great year.